This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Do you want some Krautmas bed, Sam?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll give you some Krautmas bed.
For that, it's a great time. So, hi.
How are you?
Good, I'm good. So this week I decided, like I did last week with Wu-Tang, to pick an album that was kind of associated with a concert that's happening.
I see you're working.
Yeah, so this week we're doing The Breeders, Last Splash.
What an album.
Because they're playing tomorrow.
And this is the Last Splash lineup of The Breeders, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's turning 25. Can't believe it.
Oh my God.
A long time ago. Yeah, so just a bit of background about The Breeders. They formed in Ohio in 1989, and obviously Kim Deal was the main instigator of this, along with Josephine Wiggs and Tanya Donnelly. And it was initially intended to only be like a side project for them alongside their real bands, quote unquote, obviously Pixies and the Throwing Muses.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Pixies broke up, it quickly became Kim Deal's primary band and has pretty much remained this way since, basically. And they recorded their debut album, Pod, in 1990. Which was met very positively. It was even named by Kurt Cobain as being one of his favourite records. So with this, it pretty much became a situation where it wasn't just going to be a side project, but an actual full-time band for Kim Deal, made easier with the Pixies disbanding, basically. And at this early stage, though, they were already struggling to maintain a lineup. Donnelly left, as did the original drummer, but they brought in Kim's sister, Kelly, and Jim McPherson to complete the lineup for the second album, which is the lineup that I'm pretty sure you'll be seeing tomorrow if you go to the show.
Super exciting.
Yeah. So they sat down to record the album in early 1993, mainly in San Francisco, although some of the songs of this record date back to 1990 and the preceding years, including the sessions for their 1992 EP Safari. And basically the sound of this album is a bit of an extension of that polished, driving, alt-rock sound of the Safari EP. Really catchy tracks here. I guess it takes the angsty nature of the Pixies and brings in a bit more melodic pop sensibilities, I guess.
Is this your favourite Breeders album? Because this is the one that always ends up in all those English magazine best of the 90s lists.
Yes, it does. Yes, it is. I like it a lot. Yeah, it's really catchy and it kind of catches that time quite well. Is it your favourite?
Probably. Yeah, probably. It's just so consistently good.
Yes, I know. Although one of the different situations for the Breeders, for Kim particularly, was compared with the Pixies, was she got to write more songs, which obviously in the Pixies she didn't really have that opportunity. She wrote the odd song here and there, but it really wasn't her gig, so to speak. But here she co-writes all the songs and really was allowed to spread her wings as a songwriter, which she'd been wanting to do for years. So let's play the opening, well, it's not the opening track, but it's the main single from the record, Cannonball. And this is obviously one of their most well-known tracks, best-loved tracks. And NME, speaking of English magazines, voted it the best single of 1993 and the 22nd greatest indie anthem of all time.
And when it is performed live, I think on Kim Deal's writer, she needs a Dixie cup and some duct tape.
We'll be right back.
That is Cannonball by The Breeders.
Somebody texted in saying, there was so much good music at that time compared to the lack these days. Come on, The Breeders are back. What more do you want?
You know, there's music. Every decade has good music.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. Yeah,
I mean, you know. The next track we're going to play is Saints, and this is track number 13 and was the third and final single from the album.
Ooh.
Enjoy.
We got the same texter texting in after I read their text out loud saying, I saw them in London first time around. Good for you. Lucky. And I'm over these bands doing their retirement fund tours. That's a fair enough thing
to say. The gravy train.
Say.
The nostalgia gravy train.
There are good examples and bad examples.
Yeah,
of
at least
bands
they're not the Rolling
together.
Stones.
Correct. I need to word this carefully so I'm not accidentally offending someone. Something that struck me when I was at Straightjacket Fits in Dimmer was there's a massive difference between people whose top of their game never really finished. They're just like consistently awesome, like Shane Carter, versus, you know, getting a band out of retirement with half an hour's rehearsal because they all want a bit of money.
Exactly.
There are people who are still on top of their game. And if look on YouTube at The Breeders on Jules Holland and they're still shit hot.
They released an album this year as well.
They did, and it's an amazing album.
Yeah, see?
It's like The Breeders and Jay Maskus. If you're cynical, you kind of think they've got no right to still be as good as they are, but they're still really good.
It's their job.
Yeah.
They
don't
want
to take it seriously.
But
anyway,
how was this album received at the time and how's its legacy, I guess? Very important questions. The album did quite well for an alternative band at the time. It managed to crack the top 40 of the Billboard charts. No mean feat. It went platinum in the States, so that means it sold more than a million copies. And it even made number 11 in the New Zealand charts. They've always been very popular down here. It's since gone on to become seen by our good friends at NME and Melody Maker and all those wonderful British magazines as one of the best albums of the 90s. Pitchfork, good friends at Pitchfork, named it the 64th best album of the 90s. And it's considered by many to be an era-defining classic. However, after the massive success of this record, the band went on hiatus in 1994. And in fact, that lineup for that album wouldn't play together until 2012. It was a big, big time in between drinks. And the band was kind of kept together by the Deal sisters bringing in different people.
It's funny you say in between drinks.
Yeah, in between drinks.
Because Kim Deal, when interviewed by the weird bumbling Jules Holland, kind of went, well, Kim, what, why has it been so long? And she just kind of shrugged and made the universal symbol for drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wow. Well, honest.
But
honest
they're back
woman.
Together and, you know, they've released their first album in 10 years this year and it was very well received. And if you've got a ticket to see them tomorrow, you're probably going to be in for a very good time. So on that note, we're going to finish with a track which they'll probably play. It's track number 10 and the second single from the album. And it's Divine Hammer.
It's a lovely song. I found something for you, Sam.
Oh, yes.
BFM. Hi, this is Kim Deal, and you're listening to 95 BFM.
Oh, that's so cool.
Apparently, at the time when she recorded that, the bit which has been cut off was BFM. What does that stand for? Boy fuck men? She thought it was like a cruising category. It's like, no, Kim. No. Sorry.
Bless her.
Bless her. Can't wait.
Bye.
If you've missed out, get on the Facebook page. Beg for a ticket.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.